Well, take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn over to Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We'll be looking at chapter 1 this morning and looking again at our verses that we began talking about a couple weeks back. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. What a marvelous truth we've already seen in verses 4 and 5 with this, what might seem just like a almost routine type of salutation from John. Grace to you and peace, he says there in verse 4. Well, when we stop and ponder that and think about that for a moment, meditate upon grace and peace, peace coming from God, peace with God, via by His grace. What a blessing it is to think about that peace, to think that we have something as believers that no other group, no other body, no other person apart from faith in Christ could ever have, could ever hope to have peace in God. And yet, there it is. And it isn't by our works. It isn't by what we've done. It is a gift. It is something that is freely bestowed out of the merciful, gracious heart of Almighty God. We see that it comes to us, as verses 4 and 5 say there, from God the Father, who is and was and is to come. What a testimony of God the Father. Also God the Spirit, the sevenfold, the manifold witness before the throne, in complete perfection, in completeness itself, all of a Spirit that does the bidding of God's will and does it completely, as I said, and perfectly every time. And also of the great and faithful witness, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, firstborn from the dead and ruler of the kings of the earth. Look there at verse 4. Let me just reread that to you. 4 to 8. John, to the seven churches who are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loved us and received us, or I'm sorry, and released us from our sins by His blood. And He has made us to be a kingdom, priest to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over Him. Even so, amen. Christ Jesus Himself throws this in verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega. What is that? The first. I am the first and the last, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You who believe this morning, you who consider yourself to be Christians, to be believers in Christ, you know, to consider such great gifts from the hand of God, grace and peace, to contemplate your former and present state, to understand this grace and peace and what it really means, you must join in with John, who wrote, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood, and He has made us to be a kingdom, priest to His God and Father. It is a salutation that exceeds others. It is a exclamation of joy. And you as a believer today should join in with John in this statement that you also rejoice. Which really brings us to the church's response that we find here in verses 5 and 6. More apt maybe your response individually, collectively as a body of believers, yes, but certainly individual as individual believers in Christ. Verses 5 and 6 almost seem to burst from John's thankful heart. No doubt he was just thinking of the wondrous grace and peace he just penned. Here's John, an old, tired, persecuted apostle of Jesus Christ, banished to the island of Patmos for his faith, for his belief, suffering for the gospel, suffering for the churches that he represents, while the Roman Empire, with Domitian at its head, seeks to destroy all believers, to stamp out Christianity and any sign of these who are of the way, as they were known in that day. Persecution, yes. Arrests, execution, death to those who are followers of Jesus Christ. And yet, what's the reaction from John? As one commentator said, here is not a tone of a trace of sadness. Instead of groans and tears and dark forebodings, every note with the very gladness and triumph of heaven itself. End quote. How is your heart? How is your faith? How is your reaction when your faith comes under fire? Is it like this? Is it like John's, that it rings with joy, it rings with jubilation, it rings with triumph, and there's no tears, there's no dark forebodings, there's no sadness? I hope so. There are three things, beloved, that come to mind when considering the church's response to this wonderful, wonderful truth, this marvelous blessing of grace to you and peace. First thing we see is your present reality in verse 6. It says, he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. You ever consider yourself that? A priest in a kingdom, which Christ is the head, and you are his subjects, and yet you are priests under him. The Scripture teaches this. The Scripture says, he has made us priests. He has made us such, not we ourselves. We are not some self-appointed priest in the stead of Christ. This is not how we really see ourselves, is it? This is really not how we see each other. He has made us priests. Though the world hate us, abuse us, or persecute us, in God's eyes, each believer is crowned with royal dignity and clothed in priestly holiness. I think it's time we start seeing ourselves like that. Not from a pride perspective, but from, you know, that should produce more humility in your heart, that God has taken you from where you are and has elevated you to the point that he considers and looks upon you as a dignified priest in his kingdom. You don't think you have something to say in witnessing to other people? Shame. Shame on you. You were a priest. Bear the message. Herald the good news of this peace that is possible between that person to whom you're talking and the Creator, God himself, by his grace. That's the gospel. That's the message we need to be spreading to people far and wide. Peace is possible, and it's only through Christ. One commentator said, quote, if to be a king is to possess dignity, dominion, power, and riches, and to be a priest implies the still higher glory of holiness, friendship, and communion with God, then there is far more reality in the spiritual kingship and priesthood of the Christian than ever belonged to any mere earthly monarch or Aaronic priest. End quote. Oh, beloved, get your eyes up off of yourself, off of everything that you know, and look to Christ, and look to see how he sees you through the eyes, the filter, the lens of the holy priesthood to which you belong. How much attention do you think of when you hear on the news, say, a monarch, say like the Queen of England, is going to journey to America and visit the President and visit Congress and visit various places in the United States? Think about that monarch, the Queen of England. How much honor does she receive? How much respect? How much security is put forth to escort her, to secure her very travels while she is here in this country? And yet all look upon her with great admiration, don't they? Hear me well this morning. If your faith rests in Christ, you are a holy dignitary of an order that far outshines anything this world can possess. It is not just a pleasant statement of some future possibility, some future reality, but beloved, this is your privilege to feel this way now as a believer, as you sit here this morning, today. This is one of those heavenly blessings I think we read about, but far too few of us really know about or live it out. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Do you welcome the message of grace and peace in here, in your heart? Do you trust Jesus Christ as your faithful witness, as the faithful witness? Do you today, not just some point in your past, but today, do you choose Him willingly, willfully, as Lord and Master over your life today? I don't ask whether you feel ashamed of your corrupt nature or the weight of your daily sin. I know you do. If you call yourself a believer, if you are a believer, I know you feel the weight of your sin. That's a given. But do you accept God's grace in Christ as your only hope and Christ's will as your only law? If so, then what is your present relationship between you and Christ, between you and your God at this time, at this day? Your union with Christ, has it somehow come undone? Are you not united to Christ anymore? Your inheritance within Christ, has it somehow faded away or become corrupted, that it is no longer any worth? Has God's Spirit somehow been removed from your presence, that it is no longer an active presence in your life? Has God somehow withdrawn His pledge to you of support and given you to give you all the precious promises of heaven itself? Beloved, if you take God at His word, then hear this. Stop living a defeated life. It is your privilege, believer, to say along with John the Apostle, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The children of God." What honor or crown could the world impart that you could compare to this royal, dignified act of God? There is none. Beloved, realize your true worth, your real dignity, and the blessed privilege that comes to you by the blood of Christ. And praise the Lord Jesus, for He has made you a kingdom of priests to His God. So, we see the present reality, your present reality is that you are a priest. You should start living like it, heralding the good news of the gospel. Secondly, I want to point out to you the source and cost of these blessings. How did I become a priest, or what price was paid on my behalf that I became? If you stand, you say there's nothing that I've done, there's nothing that we've done by our own works to gain this status, this good opinion of God the Father, then who paid the cost? Look there at the second part of verse 5. To Him who loves us and released us from our sins. What's the last three words? By His blood. There's the cost. There's the price. Consider these two twin truths, beloved. The incomprehensible love of Christ and the fact that that love freed us from our sins. Picture, if you would, for a moment, Christ, before He came to earth, in heaven, sitting on His throne, there in the Father's communion and relationship with the Spirit and the Father, and having perfect communion, perfect union, perfect delight in each other's company, the bliss, the glory, the dominion, the sovereignty. And yet in the midst of that marvelous scene, there Christ rises. And He takes the regal robes of that glory off of His own shoulders and He casts them aside, all but temporarily, as He makes His descent to earth. Lower and lower He goes to be born and placed in a stable in a there in Bethlehem, to a carpenter shop in an obscure town in Nazareth, and then later to Gethsemane and the cross and the suffering and the shame and the abuse. All of those things awaited him as he stepped lower and lower and lower. All this, why? So he could wash away your sins. Your sins. My sins. Gone are sin's power and pollution now because of Christ and His blood atonement. Gone is the guilt. Gone is the condemnation from a holy God, and rightly so. For now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What can you say? Is there anything that you cannot go to God with now? He's done this for you. He's done the greatest thing that could happen to you. Peace with God. He's purchased that for you. Is there anything that you cannot go to God with now? No, because everything that you can come up, anything you could possibly think of, is far less by comparison than what God has already done through Christ Jesus for you. So freely go. Freely take any small, medium, large, whatever size of issue or problem you think you might have, whatever scale you want to put it in, that's fine. But take it to the Lord, because He's already done the greater. He will certainly not overlook the lesser. Is any sin too black for such blood to wash away? Can there be any higher blessing of hope than this? Remember, the source and cost of our blessed grace and peace is Jesus' sacrifice to remove your sins. Lastly, we see the present reality that we are priests in His marvelous kingdom. We see the source, the cost of these blessings that was paid by Jesus' own life, His own dear blood. Lastly, there has to come a response, doesn't there? When someone does something that magnanimous, you have to respond. Just as Steve said during our time of communion today, when someone says, "No, no, dear, you sit back, I'll take care of supper tonight. You be served, I will serve you." When there comes that kind of a gift to you, there has to be some kind of a response. And it is a joyful response when salvation comes to us and to our hearts. Look at verse 6. "And He has made us to be priests," or "He's made us to be a kingdom, priest to His God and Father." Here it is. "To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." There's the response, and it is not one that is a burdensome matter of fact. You know, we raised our girls, and we always try to teach them manners. When someone gives you something, you know, you respond, "Thank you." You know, you have your pleases and your yes sirs and your yes ma'ams and all those things that are supposed to fall under that category of manners. Here is no just a routine matter of manners. This is a response born that no one should have to encourage you to give. This is something that is born from the heart when this magnanimous gift of peace with God comes to you by the grace of God. It is easy to respond. "To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever." Think of that monarch again. Queen of England, whoever. What comes with that? What comes with that package? There's all kinds of things that comes with a monarch. The queen was to come to the States, or even if the queen was to get out of Buckingham Palace and just tour her own country, kingdom, there's things that come with that. Does not honor come with that crown? Yeah. Does not some form of praise? You see her going through the streets there in London, and the sidewalks are literally jam-packed with people, and they're shouting praises to her and to her family. Honor, respect, admiration, all those things come with the crown. But when the parade is passed, when the open chariots and whatnot are all put back in their royal garages, if that's the term to use, and she's back in the palace and the streets are now empty, there has to come a realization of the praise and honor that she commands is one of kind of a static praise. It's there and present when she's there, and the people rejoice in it when she's there. But when she's not there, where is it? It doesn't seem to be there. It's gone. It's put way, way in the back in the people's hearts and minds. Beloved, these words here that are shared in John, from John's pen in Revelation 1, these are not shared here with the same thought in mind. Jesus Christ, get this, deserves all honor, all glory, and all praise, but not just to be given in His presence. Understand, we as believers, we offer these things up continually. We are living sacrifices of praise to Him. That's our calling. This is our spiritual job description, as it were. This is what we'll be joyfully doing now and for eternity, whether we are in the active presence, seemingly in our mind, or not. Because whether you don't think you are, you really are. You're always in the presence of Christ. What's the response of the church to this peace and grace? James Ramsey, in his commentary, writes, quote, "In view of His love and blood, and the kingly and priestly honors and privileges they have secured, she, the church, joyfully acknowledges that the glory of her salvation belongs exclusively to Him, both in its purchase, its application, and its final consummation, and expresses her desire and determination to yield herself up wholly to His dominion, both in providence and grace." End quote. Does that describe your heart this morning? Do you desire in your heart of hearts to yield yourself wholly? W-H-O-L-L-Y. Wholly, the fullness of you, all that you have, up to Christ in His dominion? Can you dare to offer up less than your whole heart to Him? Let's pray.